Thursday, 4 February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're actually in a series from Ezekiel chapter 8 as God brings Ezekiel back into the land and shows him all the problems that caused God to have to send Israel into captivity. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 teaches us that these things are all written for our admonition. They're there for ensamples or examples to us, and wise we are if we learn from them. And we ask the question, how could a people who had started out worshiping God, having the Shekinah glory of God in the temple, and in the tabernacle, of course, before the temple, how could they end up as idolaters? Well, we know from the history of the Old Testament, Israel had problems with idols for a long, long time. They had brought idols out of Egypt. You remember when Moses was on the mount and he had left Aaron to take care of the people while they built him a golden calf. And then you'll find throughout the books of the prophets, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that they were constantly having to admonish and rebuke over this matter of idolatry that had crept into the hearts and lives of God's people. The idolatry got so bad that God would eventually have to send Israel and Judah into captivity. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Help us to learn, O God. We're glad that thou art the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. O Lord, that you do not change. I pray that you'd help us to live for thee. And Lord, in these few minutes we have in the broadcast, may they all, every minute, every second, count for thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we ask, well, how do people get into this trouble? And we said, well, we see it here in the New Testament, the book of Romans, beginning in verse 18 of chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then he tells us how this happened. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now this is where we left off on our last broadcast. What is the result when people refuse to be thankful and they refuse to glorify God as God, and then they seek to change his glory into that which is like corruptible man, the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things? That's idolatry, dear friend. Well, first of all, God gives them up to, I call it, natural immorality. We find that in verse 24. And then men will attack the Word of God because the Word of God convicts them of their sin. And then God has to turn folks over to vile affections. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And then, of course, it goes downhill from there. Now, darkness is not a thing in the world but the absence of light. And you'll notice in verses 21 and 22, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A few weeks ago, from the airing of this broadcast, we had a terrible tragedy out in San Bernardino, California. Most all of you, I'm sure, know the history of all of this. But one of the great tragedies, beyond precious people being shot up and killed, and the response, the weak response of our government, was the response of the left-wing press. I want to share with you some comments that I took off the internet entitled, God Can Fix This. I'm quoting now. This was dated December the 3rd, 2015. Of all the horrific shootings this country has suffered these past few years, yesterday's tragedy at San Bernardino may have been the most significant. Not because it took more lives than others, or even because of the gunman's potential motives. No, Wednesday's tragedy was more stunning because it prompted an even fiercer attack on faith. Instead of turning to one another for strength in crises, Americans turned on each other. Led by rabid media, the headlines were no longer about the victims and their grieving families, but about leaders who dared to do what the frightened people inside the building asked, pray. Let me just interject that that's what the dear folks were texting and calling out and asking people to pray for them. And by the way, you could do nothing better at that time than to pray. And so the Daily News now is just really attacking this. They really attacked it. And several Republicans responded that our prayers are with the victims, their families, and the first responders in San Bernardino. Senator Ted Cruz, a Republican of Texas, had tweeted, please keep the victims of San Bernardino in your prayers. Speaker Paul Ryan from Wisconsin urged the people to do the same. Here's how the New York Daily Times responded. In bold text, the news cover screamed back, quote, God isn't fixing this, end quote. It was a startling response, one that exploded through the darkest corners of Twitter's progressivism, until even a Connecticut senator, before anyone had an inkling of what had happened or why, lashed out with, quote, your thoughts should be about steps to take to stop this carnage. Your prayers should be for forgiveness if you do nothing again, end quote. Later, his office tried to clarify, but it was too late. Angry liberals had already made their point. This is no longer the America of 1774 or even 2001. It's a new era of openly demonizing anyone with deep and sincere faith. As the latest batch of innocent Americans are left lying in pools of blood, the news scoffed. Cowards who should truly end gun scourge continued to hide behind meaningless platitudes. Meaningless platitudes, like the ones enshrined in our Constitution or inscribed on our coins? How far we've fallen, hours after a Muslim couple mowed down dozens of people in a quiet county office. The story isn't that they have been radicalized in Saudi Arabia or had enough explosive to blow up a neighborhood block, but that American people had the audacity to get on their knees and pray. At one time in American history, the Atlantic's Emma Green wrote wistfully, liberals and conservatives shared the language of God, but that's clearly no longer the case. Any invocation of faith is taken as implicit advocacy of right-wing political beliefs. The one constant in crisis from Pearl Harbor to 9/11 was, quote, in God we trust. Now the same party that voted God out of its platform is so hostile to Christians under President Obama that it begs the question, is this culture of enmity so strong that it's actually motivating acts like this? Now quickly, despite what liberals would have you believe, hate is what drives men to slaughter innocent people, not guns. And the government can't make us safer until it recognizes that the problem isn't the instruments of violence, but the environment of it. If the White House truly wants to end the animosity dividing us, it would stop inflaming it through policies that punish religion and fast-track moral decline. It isn't that God can't fix this. It's that cynics like the ones at New York Daily News won't let him. Well, we've got to close for now. God willing, we'll continue this on our next broadcast. In the meantime, may our Lord be pleased to keep us safe, use us for His glory. Please join us next broadcast if you can.